Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back to The Good Life with Tracy Castor. I'm so excited to be here today on my very first episode, share a little bit about me, why I want to do this podcast, and what I have to share with you. Welcome back to The Good Life with Tracy Castor. Today, we are going to decode your food and talk about how to read nutrition labels like a pro. There's a lot of myths out there and marketing and things in the label that can make it so complicated to read what's really in your food. And sometimes the commercials or the toys that might come in the box or with it can really be misleading for the intended audience of the food. So we're going to break down nutrition labels. We're going to talk about some advanced tips around serving size. We're going to talk about the weight of ingredients, all the different sort of key things to look for. And I'm going to layer in a couple of things that I feel strongly about when I look at a label. So let's have some fun. Is it fun to read a label? Well, we'll see. Let's dive into really looking at food labels and how to read them like a pro, how to feel confident, because you shouldn't need a diploma in nutrition to read a food label. You just have to want to know what's in it. And if you don't want to know what's in your food, that's okay too. I'm not here to judge. I'm just really want to give people some knowledge and the opportunity to be able to look at a food label and not feel overwhelmed because the front of the package says light or the front of the package says diet something. You know, whatever those wordings might be, might not align with what we're finding on the label and in the product. So I'm going to talk a little bit about a story with one of my kiddos the other day. I won't even name which one because sometimes they listen, where they were drinking a drink that I certainly didn't buy. They're adults. What are you going to do? And I made a comment about, oh, that really is not an ideal thing to hydrate with. It's like early in the morning. And the comment was, but mom, there's only 21 grams of sugar. Now, first and foremost, 21 grams of sugar is a lot. But that was per serving. And I think that's some of the misnomer sometimes on these labels. So we're going to really talk about that. I've got an example to show as well. We're going to talk about why reading the label is a critical skill for anyone who's pursuing wellness, weight management, navigating allergies, sensitivities, or just wants to know what's in their dang food. And really, label reading 101, we're going to talk about some country differences, some expert tips around serving size, looking at daily values, low fat doesn't always equal healthy, and all of the other stuff. So welcome to this journey down label reading to get to the bottom of all the nutritional things that may or may not be in what we're eating. So number one is serving size. Back to this story with my kiddos. I'm going to reach, if you're watching on video, I've got this great Gatorade bottle here that my kids brought into the house. Again, I'm not here to judge, but this would not be my preferred method of hydration for my kiddos. And the when we look at this saying 21 grams of sugar, and by the way, none of those are from a fruit source or anything else natural. It's not stevia. It's not anything. This is all added sugars. That's per serving. And there are 2.5 servings in this. I don't know about you in your house, but if one of my kids gets their hands on this, they're drinking the whole thing. They're not only having 1/3 of it or 1/2 of it, the whole thing gets drank. So now you're talking about 48 grams of sugar. Do you know that's nearly your entire daily intake? 97%. of your daily intake of sugar. Well, I double dog dare you to spend the rest of your day trying to only get 3% of your sugars in, because it'll be nearly impossible. And in a world where we know that sugar is a real problem in the diet of, frankly, everybody, but definitely in our children, it's very concerning to me when I see these things. So this would be a great time to, you know, remind you guys, and I do remind my kids, that in our home, we have some great hydration drinks and energy drinks that come from Youngevity that have all the nutrients, all the electrolytes. By the way, of all the electrolytes, which I believe there's 7 different: potassium, calcium, I'm going to draw a blank, sodium. This one just has sodium and potassium. That's it. It doesn't have the rest of the electrolytes. So it's not really a complete electrolyte anyway. But what's really interesting is the entire bottle of that only actually has 7% of your daily value of potassium. It's really not giving you that much anyway. But I'll tell you what is in there is a lot of red 40, blue 10, yellow 5, and all the other things. So back to the point at hand, which was really serving size. So when we look at something like that, that's the number one thing you want to look at: serving size versus what they're telling you the total package has. And if you think you're going to eat the total package or drink the total drink, you need to take that into account. The other thing I've often found interesting is when you see, for example, an Alfredo sauce, and I have the numbers somewhere in front of me, but I'm not going to shuffle papers to find them. But if the Alfredo sauce per serving tells you it's 30 grams of fat, okay, but the serving size is a half a cup. How often are you really going to only use a half a cup of pasta sauce? I mean, I'm not. I'm not going to only eat a half a cup of pasta sauce. I'm always going to eat more than that. So really understanding what the packaging says, how much you intend to use, and then you can go from there to make an informed choice. And there is nothing wrong with whatever choice you make if it's what you want for you and your family, but it's really about being informed on those pieces. And the next thing we're going to talk about on there is the calories per serving versus per package. Again, same, it's broken down on the side of the calories per serving versus per package. And to me, in my opinion, what's important, it's not just about keeping the calorie number low. It's also about what you're getting for those calories. So if the calorie number is 100 calories, for example, but you're not really getting any protein, you know, maybe you're getting some carbs and fats, but to me, protein is kind of the key piece I'm looking for in the things I'm eating. I really think about, well, are these calories worth it if I'm not getting the building blocks of what I need? So again, this is all about you and the diet you are choosing to be on or live, because I'm not a fan of the word diet for an interim thing. Diet to me is your everyday choice about how you plan to eat and how you plan to serve food to your family. But if your calories are low or high isn't as important as what those calories are made up of. So a higher calorie food that gives you lots of great protein, well, that's, in my opinion, a better option. So they always are going to show your macronutrients, your fats, which are a combination of saturated, trans fats, polyfats, and monofats, all of those in there, and often broken down. And we're going to talk more about the breakdown as we go. Carbs, which of course can be fiber. Nothing wrong with getting some carbs to have fiber in them. Fiber is very important, but also sugar. And then many places also articulate added sugars separately. In fact, almost everywhere, but I think there's a couple of nuances to that. And then last but not least, protein. So the amount of protein. And for me personally, if you've listened to my podcast before, you've probably heard that I never seem to get enough protein in my diet. So for me, that is something I am always looking at. And then the percentage of daily value is also really important. So you heard me just speak on the drink bottle that I had in front of me about the percentage of daily value of the sugar being 97%. I think what's important to articulate here is that that's based on an average adult human. It's not based on a kid's numbers. It's not based on your personal numbers that you might have got from a nutritionist or that you might be macros that you are trying to eat to. So that might be a place, if you are really trying to understand, you may need to put some math to that on your own and realize, actually, I only want 50 grams of sugar a day. Well, then in you know, or even less, I guess, let's say more like 25 grams of sugar in one day, you wouldn't even be able to drink that entire drink and you would be well over your sugar allowance for the day. So knowing what you want in your daily percentage values, because that really is what's on packaging, has to be standardized between just really standard adult based on the country, what is being recommended by their governing body for health and nutrition. And we know here at this time in the United States, there's a lot of things changing. But I am a firm believer, even though I do believe things are changing for the better, we're seeing laws and regulations around some of the food dyes. We're going to talk a little bit more around that later. I honestly believe if this really matters to you, don't wait for the government to make changes. Make your own informed decisions about what you're putting in your body, because nobody should be more accountable for your health and well-being than you are. I'm a real firm believer in that. Okay, so ingredients. Generally, read them in the descending order. So what's interesting, a couple of things are interesting. So the first few ingredients are always around the weight. So the weight by density of what's in the products. So you want to read what's those very first few things are the heaviest, but not everything has the same weight. So ounces of one product might be more detrimental, even though they're second or third, but maybe they're not as heavy. So they get to be further down the line. So just remember that the order of ingredients is not the be all and end all. And the things that are last, if they are not good ingredients, don't discount it because they're last. Don't be like, oh, well, it's okay because the red 40 is last. It's still red 40. It's still something you generally don't want in your system. So remember that, and we're going to deep dive into that a little bit as we go into the countries, but reading those ingredients lists, and sometimes, quite honestly, the ingredient lists are so hard to read. A little tip I have, if you have vision issues with the small print, which I know happens sometimes, is to take a photo of it with your phone and then expand it so that you can read it right there in the store. There are a lot of great nutrition label reading apps that are out there, many of which are free. But I will caution you that sometimes the food gets updated. There's a different type of food or a different flavor, and the label that pops up might not be exactly correct. So definitely always cross-reference that it's bringing up the correct one. And then secondly, I've had experiences in stores where my cellular wasn't working in the store. So I went in with the intention of using an app for the food, and then I couldn't actually use an app for the food because once I got deep in the back corner of the store, I didn't have any service. So a couple of things to be mindful of when you're doing that. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some labeling differences in different countries. This went alphabetical. Well, it didn't go alphabetical. I thought it did because it started with Canada. But it's the way the research came up, so that'll be okay. So in Canada, the labels are going to be dual language of French and English required on everything. The daily value is prominently featured, but again, that's a daily value based on the Canadian standards. So keep that in mind. It must list the 13 core nutrients. So that must be listed on the label. Sugars can be lumped together, added in natural if desired, but some companies choose to do it otherwise. On the front of the pack, the regulations now flag high sugar, high sodium, and saturated fat. So that needs to be on the front of the package. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a believer. This is me. This is just me, Tracy. This isn't written on a piece of paper. I'm a believer that if it's written on the front of a package, I take notice. If there is a regulation making them like it's like the blinking red light, put it on the front, I'm like, ooh. So years and years ago when aspartame first came out and it had to be put on the front of things, I was like, oh, that's something to take note of. Now, I'm not here to shame anybody because I don't buy soda in the house, but if I'm going to reach for one, I'm embarrassed to say it's going to be a Coke Zero because I actually really like the flavor. I do not like the flavor of regular Coke. If someone can find me a cola product that tastes like a Coke Zero but doesn't have aspartame, friends, I'm all ears, but I don't have them that often. So, you know, all things together, it's all right. I make those allowances for myself, and I hope you do too, because to me, the path to the good life is not denying yourself of something you truly enjoy. It's understanding and acknowledging, yeah, okay, not really great for me, but I'm going to go ahead and have one once in a while when I really want to. The other one, when we're talking about things listed on the front, this is a little bit of a side quest, but it's something that I feel really strongly about, so I love to share this, is years ago when they started having to list aluminum on the front of antiperspirants, it made me go, why are they doing that? And I was young. This is like, I was like 20 something, early 20s probably. I started researching why they had to do that. And the studies around aluminum in antiperspirants and some deodorants out there now was really interesting. And I made a choice to then move away from that for myself and my family, quite frankly, because the fact that they had to put it on the front of the label made me take notice. And so I encourage you to do your own research on anything you see listed on the front of the label that seems like a warning. There's a reason behind it. It's not by accident. And I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm saying it because with knowing these things, you have the opportunity, if you choose to educate yourself. And with education, you can make an informed decision. And informed decisions aren't wrong or right. They're what you choose for you and your family if you have the information. So just keep that in mind. Also on Canadian labels, we find fiber is emphasized. It's often in bold or what have you. And that's great because many people are trying to count their fiber numbers to make sure they're getting enough to keep their bodies regular. Okay, we're going to move on to the U.S. Often what we're seeing is calorie counts are bolded and easy to spot on a package. That can be a bonus, but remember, it's part of the story. Calories can mean a lot or a little, but until you know the macros that go into those, the protein, the carbs, and the fats that make up those calories, that's what really matters. It's like knowing a big house from the outside is beautiful. It's like, oh, that looks like the house I want. But going inside and finding out that a 5,000 square foot home has one bedroom and one bathroom, well, that's not what we need inside. So understanding the whole picture and not just looking at the outside is so important. Don't get tricked by what is bolded. Read all the things if you're truly interested. Added sugars have been required here since 2020, which is a great bonus. So those are things added in, not just things happening naturally. So in a yogurt, for example, regular sugar might be from the strawberry puree that's in the bottom. Added sugars are truly added sugars getting added into that. So it's good to distinguish those two. I believe there's a big difference. I know lots of people out there are like, sugar is sugar. And while I agree, sugar is sugar, sugar in a strawberry in its whole form or any other fruit for that matter is coming with the fiber and is molecularly different than the sugar on its own that's processed, refined white sugar. So keep that in mind. The serving size in the U.S. is actually starting to be updated a little better to what people actually eat, but maybe it's just because I have teenage boys. I still don't think it's accurate. And the truth is, it's never going to be accurate for all of us. And that's not even something that's fair of us to put on the government or the governing health body. There's no way in the world they're going to pick a serving size that works for every single person. So keep in mind what you're eating, your serving size, when you sit down and make, and let's just take an easy case. Let's take a frozen lasagna that says it serves 6. If 2 of you are eating it, it no longer serves 6. You have to do the math accordingly. So knowing what you and your household eats is very, very important. Also in U.S. labels, vitamin D and potassium are required, but actually A and C are no longer required to be on labels here. Again, some companies choose to, but it's not a requirement anymore. Often though, even if it's not in the labels, and sometimes it's because the labels are really small, depending on the product, I mean, they have no more space. They're going to be like a 3-point font and no phone can take a photo of that and zoom it up and no amount of readers is going to help you read that. But often these things that aren't legally required, you can find if you desire on their website. And if it's not on their website, certainly go to their customer care. These places, generally speaking, want to help people who are interested in their foods and products. So ask the question. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to flip over to the UK because I know I have some friends there and I have some listeners there. And my entire company, Youngevity, has a huge arm there. So I think it's important to cover this. They actually use a traffic light system. So if you're traveling to the UK, know that if you're shopping and buying groceries to cook in a place you might have rented. So they use a red, amber, and green on the front of the package to really articulate, is this something that's sort of kind of a go food where the nutritional values are within a reasonable amount? Is it an amber where maybe you better take a look? And is it a red food that might have high sodium or high fat content? The energy is listed in both kilojoules and kilocalories. So giving you both options, which I think is neat that they do that. They often include references intakes for fats, saturates, sugars, and salt all on the label. They have no requirement for the added sugars total. Although again, some manufacturers, especially people manufacturing from multiple countries, might be doing that anyway, but it's not required. And fiber is not mandatory unless the product makes a high fiber claim. So if they are marketed as a product that's good in fiber, then they have to put the amount on. Otherwise, they do not. All right, we're going to head down south to Mexico because similarly, lots of people here in Arizona travel to Mexico, cook and shop down there, cook in their rooms or VRBOs, or many of my friends have some places in Rocky Point. But then also similarly, my company has a huge arm moving into Mexico with a great support for the Latino community, and which is really exciting. So I wanted to make sure I shared that as well. They use a black stop sign warning. So a blacked out stop sign warning for things that are high in sugar, salt, calories, or saturated fats. The front of the package, super simplified labeling. So they don't have the daily value, which isn't really a negative because again, the daily value is a moving target based on what you really want. Foods like caffeine and sweeteners require a child warning so that people can be made aware that it might not be a great food for a kiddo. Caloric information must be front-facing, and trans fats are banned in processed foods there. So that's really interesting to just see all the different pieces across. One of the parts that's so interesting is that sort of more aggressive front of the package labeling has kind of been a model for some of the other Latin countries that are looking to combat obesity, because really at the core of it, obesity is something that if it's happening on a nationwide problem, the government wants to address it because it could become a huge healthcare issue, a huge cost. The hospitals, and I'm not just talking money cost, but actually a burden on the hospitals and the medical system on a whole. So they're trying to help people make better choices earlier on, educate their kids to make better choices. So that kind of becomes that cascading positive outcome around eating. We're going to take a short break. Welcome back. We are talking all things labels on our food and other things, actually, but I'm trying to stay focused on food. And we're going to talk about sort of some beyond the label elements and some things to be mindful of. So sugar can have so many different names, and I think that's so important. And whether we're talking kind of, there's two avenues there. Of course, I'll use sweeteners as a general term. So in the sweetener world, we know that there's aspartame, and we know, drawing a blank on one of the other artificial ones that's super popular, but they're called that. But let's not fool ourselves and think those are the only artificial sweeteners that are ever going to be out there. And then sugar, whether it be fructose, which is derived from fruit, or sucralose, or any of the other oses, if it ends with O-S-E, generally it's sugar family. That's just a tip. But let's not think those are the only names. So when you see something on a label and you're like, I don't know what that is, get out your friend Google and check it out. And remember that when you Google something, or maybe you're using Chrome or whatever avenue you use to research, remember those first four or five things might be paid advertising. So scroll on by those and start looking at some other pieces of information and of research that can help you with those things. So remember that lots of things have different names. They try to hide them in. So it might look like sugar's only in something once, but when you actually start translating some of these other words, maybe it's in there four or five times. We already talked about the serving sizes, and often they try to that sometimes manufacturers have been known to manipulate them to hide sugars and fats in the serving size. So they get it down so minute because the serving size is so small. I'm trying to remember what it was, what I was looking at. oh, I'm going to draw a blank on it, but it was something that was so ridiculous. Oh, I know what it was. It was a dip mix from like a national leading brand, dry dip mix. And it said that, you know, it was only like 30% of your daily sodium. And the numbers weren't great, but they were like, okay, maybe that isn't so bad. But then when you looked at the serving side, it was like an eighth of a teaspoon. Wait a minute. Who's ever using an eighth of a teaspoon of anything? I mean, maybe salt or pepper might be the only thing, the only exception to that. But when you're really looking at an ingredient, generally speaking, those serving sizes can be whittled down to sort of skew what looks like the amounts of fats or sugars you're getting. So just be mindful of that. Let's talk about nutritional claims. I think this is really something that sort of, and maybe it happened before I was a kid. It might have, but I really think with television ads and, you know, as a kid who grew up in the late 70s and 80s, we had, you know, the Saturday morning cartoons and the advertisements that went with that and went around that were very focused on things for kids. And it would be elements, they would start using phrases, and it continued into the 80s and 90s, of sugar-free and low-fat. And I just caution you to know that those things that are a pretty font in big things on the front of the package, like big writing in like bubble letters that say low fat and sugar free, that's not the nutritional label. That's marketing, friends. So that is a marketing play to really get you to make a choice and be like, low fat. Well, I don't want to be fat, so obviously I want this. Well, a couple of fun things. Eating fat doesn't make you fat. Generally speaking, eating too many carbs makes you fat, but that's a whole other podcast. But low fat doesn't always mean it's better for you. Sometimes they take out the fat. They're actually adding in sugar or other fillers that you may not want. I actually prefer high fat dairy products. I think they taste better. And I've been doing that for years. Sugar-free is my other favorite one. Like sugar-free gum. Okay, but aspartame is in there. Sugar-free iced tea. Again, is it natural? Or is it sugar-free? Read the label. Don't just read the marketing. I think that's so important. You wouldn't plan a vacation based on their marketing tagline of the company. You would look at, wait, am I really getting three meals a day? What's all-inclusive really mean? Am I getting drinks all the time, or does it not include the premium bar? You would read all those details. Don't buy into something based on the marketing, because that's all those pieces are in the front, that low-fat, sugar-free. Fortified versus whole ingredients. Listen, there's a lot of debate around this. But if something's saying it's fortified, what has generally happened is they've removed nutrients and then they've shoved them back in. It's an interesting thought, right? It always raises for me, like, why? If there was nothing wrong with it, why are they doing it? Well, it might be that the process to do that is actually less expensive than to process it with the nutrients in. So the difference of that with the whole nutrients, something that's coming like the whole grain coming, not being stripped apart, versus a fortified flour that has those processed and stripped out of it, and then nutrients shoved back in that probably might not have even come from the same plant. It could be coming from somewhere else. So remember that when you're looking at fortified versus whole. Beware of those 100 gram comparisons, which happen in Europe. So again, that just be wary of the comparison between the serving size and product to product. It's not always equal. You pick up products side by side and you're like, oh, this one has 14 grams of fat, but this one has 23. You really need to validate that the serving size is the same, that, and then validate all the pieces of nutrition, because that's what really matters. Labels like organic, non-GMO, gluten-free, oh geez, there is so many. You need to do your research, because what matters to you is important. So generally speaking, gluten-free is a certain parts per million. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's a very specific parts per million that is acceptable, generally speaking, for people who need to eat a gluten-free diet. But if you're just not eating gluten because you don't want to, you don't actually have an allergic reaction or a celiac reaction, maybe you can be a little looser on that. On the flip side of that, If you're looking for a zero parts per million, then it's probably going to be difficult for you to eat something that traditionally would have gluten, but is now tagged as gluten-free because the industry standard is that parts per million amount of gluten. Non-GMO is an interesting one as well. So again, don't get tricked into the notion that just because something's non-GMO makes it better. Is it better than something that was genetically modified, apples to apples? Sure it is. But what else is there? You have to look at the whole picture if you really want to know. You can't just look at snippets. Really, the whole picture here is so important. Now, we're going to talk food dyes. We've all heard, it's been in the news lately around food dyes, the red 40, the red 3, which is probably the really serious one. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but it was announced earlier this year that the red 3 needs to be out of all food. And I think now they might have added red 40, but I know 3 for a fact needs to be out of all food by January of 2027, which all I heard with that was that it's still in our food until January 2027. But what's really interesting is 10-ish years ago, it might be 12 years ago now, they had to remove red 3 from cosmetics. So 10 years ago, they knew it wasn't good enough to go on your skin, but it was still okay to ingest. And you know what things have the most colors? It's a lot of foods targeted at our kids. It's not only them, but it's a lot of them. So definitely be mindful of that. And as I mentioned before, the most important thing is that you take accountability for what you know, if it matters to you, is in the food. Because at the end of the day, we can hear the things from the government and the health associations around the world, but there will always be, there'll be some sort of new food dye that seems like it's a great idea until it's not. There'll be some sort of new artificial sweetener that seems like it's a great idea till it's not. So your own education is number one most important. And if at the end of the day, reading the label sounds like a chemistry experiment, it's probably not real food. It's just, that's the simple side of it. So in real life, reading that label, I mean, I think it's important if you're a meal prepper and you're combining foods, because it might be one thing to have a product that's adding a few grams of sugar, but if you add together 5 of them, well, now you're more than a few grams of sugar. So if you're a meal prepper, take the time to really look at all the ingredients together. It might take a little bit of math for you, but that's a great time to use a label reading app because it can really help you compare all the things together to make sure, because the serving size generally is never the same on anything, frankly. So it makes for a little bit of math for you. But in the long run, if you're meal prepping, you're probably trying to stay on track with something. You're probably intentionally doing that. So it's worth the time to do it with awareness, and grocery shopping with awareness as well. If you find a product that's working for you because you know the macros, you know the numbers, they have the nutritional label you like, by all means, don't stray from that. Stick with that label or that product the whole way. And then, as I mentioned, comparing two similar products, you might need a bit of a calculator sometimes or an app for that, but getting it up to the servings the same size. So if one of the servings is an eighth of a cup and the other serving is a quarter of a cup, you're going to need to double that first one to get them on the level playing field, or half the other one, but put it to whatever you actually think you're going to eat. So if it's a pizza and it's telling you that one big round pizza feeds 8 people, I'm going to tell you in my house that is not accurate. My boys can easily polish off a pizza, sometimes one on their own. So understanding that is very important. Label reading for your kids' snacks and their lunches when they're going to school. Obviously, it's important, number one, if there's allergies in play, but it's important to understand specifically the sugars that your kids are ingesting while you want them at school sitting and learning, because your sugar does something to your brain, and that's just a fact. So whether you want to limit sugar or not, just know that if your kids are having a sugary lunch, it's going to be very difficult for them to actually focus and sit still during their school day as they move forward. And again, it's just an awareness, just really to make people aware, to try and make those healthy swaps. So, you know, at Youngevity, we try to have a transparency around all of our things. I had an event last night, all on hydration, and our CEO and COO were there, as well as this great guest speaker. And people had real questions about the real types of sugar we use. And some of our hydration drinks do have sugar, because the truth is when your body is depleted and it needs electrolytes, you actually do need a tiny bit of sugar to absorb them all right. If you take all the sugar away, they actually will just pass through your body and not do the functions they're supposed to do. So sometimes small amounts of sugar is important, and knowing where the source is. And it was really fun because it was a very open dialogue. You know, we were getting some of the sugars in one of the ingredients from a fruit source, so not artificial. Other times we do use stevia in a couple of our products, and our labels are really designed to be with real ingredients and easy to read nutrition, which I'm such a big fan of. It's why I love being part of this company. But then we also have a 1-800 number where you can call and ask questions and really get the answers that you need. We've also partnered with a brand new company in Canada called Sunset Gourmet. And I'm going to be really transparent here. We have some work to do with some of the labels of those foods. It was a different market. It was a market that wasn't focused on specifically gluten-free. It wasn't focused on necessarily super clean eating. It's focused on delicious eating, and there's nothing wrong with that either. So over time, we're going to see some of those things transition and change. And it'll be a really fun journey to be part of that. But I think it's important to acknowledge that great food can be great food. And if gluten-free and dairy-free and eating perfectly clean doesn't matter to you, that's okay. There's great, good food options for you as well. But if it does, then, you know, you just have to take a different path and get yourself informed. So I think, I think that's really super important, is understanding what your journey is, what your path on the good life really looks like. I'm just going to flip over to another piece of paper here and really, you know, again, just want to reiterate some of the things on serving size. This is a great example. I'm a potato chip lover. I wish I wasn't, but I am. I like the saltiness and the crunchiness. And just an example that it gives here is one bag of chips is not always just a serving, even when it looks like a personal size bag. So I don't know, when I was a kid, it was 2 size bags of chips. There was the big one that fed the whole family, and there was a little one that you got when you would eat. There was nothing in between. Now at the gas station, there's like 8 different bag sizes. I don't even know how it can be economical for them to produce so many, if I'm being honest, but they have like these bigger bags and then like not quite a full bag. So what's interesting is these bags can look like a personal size snack, but actually when you read it, one serving size in this example I'm looking at is only 10 potato chips. Now, I don't know any time in my life I've only eaten 10 potato chips at one time, to be honest. And that particular bag that I looked at, you're talking about 3.5 servings. So it's, you know, that's really something to be mindful of. And also don't forget when you're looking at the foods to look for the micronutrients. Also very important. You want to make sure you're looking to see what's it giving me in calcium, in iron, in potassium, in vitamin D, and how is it combining those? Because some of those things, if you've listened to my podcast before, some of those things are partners. Vitamin D and calcium is a great example. They partners. They like to be ingested together. Omega-3s like to be with a fat. They get better into your body when you have them that way. So knowing the partnership of the micronutrients, it's also very, very important. So, you know, just a reminder, those red flags, added sugars can be dextrose, maltose, cane juice, artificial sweeteners like that, or colors like that red 40, aspartame, partially hydrogenated oils like trans fats, and whole foods that are the flip side, they're the good sign. Things like whole oats, chickpeas, and everything else. We talked lots around all of our country stuff. And I didn't go into, you know, obviously there's labels from around the world that could be completely different. But I think really what I want to drive home is don't be fooled by how they've manipulated the label. Even with all these rules and laws, there are a lot of ways for a manufacturer to make the label look like what it might not really be. So looking at it with, you know, an open mind and understanding what you're trying to get out of it. So don't be fooled by those health claims. We talked about this earlier, like natural, light, immune boosting, electrolyte drinks. Friends, there are a lot of electrolyte vitamins. It's not just potassium. And as I mentioned earlier, some of them don't even have very much potassium. So just because it says the words doesn't make it true. Do your research, read the label, read what's really in it, and watch for those serving size tricks. low fat does not always equal healthy, at least not in my mind at all, actually. But it doesn't always mean one or the other. There's often more sugar, more starch to compensate for the taste that's missing when they take out the fat, because sometimes fat's delicious. It's just a fact. The ingredient list that's longer than 8 to 10 items or anything you can't pronounce. Okay, with the exception of that acai berry that took me 4 years to learn how to say that word, with that exception, if you can't pronounce it, it might be a red flag. So just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind as you're really food shopping, looking at your things. At the end of the day, you don't have to be a nutritionist to decode a label. You just need to look past the marketing, past the programming they're trying to get you to look at, and really figure out what matters to you and your family. So read ingredients, just like the nutrition facts. I encourage everybody to look at your country's food laws and really become aware with those changes and how they're happening. I mean, it's great to hear that they're dropping food dyes, but acknowledge that it's not immediate. It takes time. So the things you're buying on the shelf today are still going to have those, but you can make other choices to avoid that. You don't have to just sit back and wait for changes to happen. There's going to be a really helpful guide in the show notes. It'll be downloadable in the shared folder that's always in my show notes with a PDF that will help you with some label comparisons. If you want to download that, something you can have on your fridge at home or to help out someone you know that might be interested in reading labels, that's going to be there for you. So I want to just pop in real quick before I wrap up and talk about my weekly win. When I don't have a guest, I share my own weekly win. I really developed the weekly win with an idea that in this season of life for me, but maybe this resonates with you as well, there's not a lot of celebration days. Like, yay, mom, you remembered to buy toilet paper. Nobody cares. They'd probably scream about it if it wasn't there, but there's not a lot of celebration. So I encourage each and every one of you to daily or weekly or however often you want to really acknowledge something that you've done that went well or that you're proud of, even if it wasn't perfect. Even if it was like, oh, well, I did this. It was okay. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. Just take that acknowledgement and you don't have to wait to hear the congratulations from someone else. We're all allowed to pat ourselves on the back. So my weekly win, I hosted an event last night. By the time this airs, it'll be about a month ago, but it was really amazing. It was my first big in-person event. The CEO and COO of our company came, and I'll be honest, I was a little nervous because this is the first time I've really showcased to my former customers and some of my former teammates about this new company in person. I literally brought in a guest speaker, brought in these executives. Someone flew in from Vancouver, Canada. It was like a thing. It was a deal. And I felt a little nauseous about an hour before, but it all really worked out great. And I'm super proud that I didn't have all the answers and I jumped in anyway and we did it. And we had some snafus. I recorded the whole thing, but none of the speakers are in the camera. It's a good thing I don't record my own podcast. So it wasn't perfect, but it was progress and I'm super proud of it. And that's my weekly win, that I just went for it. And it was a lot of fun and I get a lot of great positive feedbacks from my current customers, past customers and future customers, which at the end of the day, I'm all about helping people. So that to me is super important. So as we wrap up today, I just want to remind everybody that you can untangle the nutrition label by starting with the serving size, reading the ingredients, not just the front of the pack claims, but all the sides of the box. Watch out for that sugar, sodium, and saturated fats. Labels are going to vary around the world. So if you're traveling or importing food, get familiar with the local laws and really understand. And your health decision starts with your accountability for label awareness, if that's what you want. I think it's very important that we all can just take a peek at what we want served in our house and then make the appropriate choices with that knowledge. And if label reading is important to you, I hope you found a little something today that might be useful along your path and your journey to the good life. Until next time, thanks for joining. Thanks for joining me today on The Good Life with Tracy Castor, where our mission is to help you eat better, live better, and be better, one step at a time. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast so you never miss a moment of inspiration. And if this episode made a difference for you, please share it with your friends and family, because living the good life is always better together. Just a quick reminder, this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any specific condition. Always consult with a qualified health professional before making any changes to your diet, lifestyle, or wellness routine. Until the next time, keep choosing the good life. You deserve it.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.